Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome back to the Game Junkie Podcast. On this week's show, we've got one of our top three lists again, Alex. That is one you have selected, of course. This is top three times games have made us cry. There is a plethora of work through, but I dare say we may have some similar ones on certain things.
Possibly. So,
but before we get to that, of course, it's time for the news. Alex, you actually said you've actually got something for news this week, which may be a bit out of date. What do you mean, buddy?
Well, I mean, it was out of date because of what came out as we're recording yesterday. Because originally I was going to talk about how good of a deal the Xbox was. But then the PlayStation got announced and a price was put on it.
The Xbox is still a better deal, money-wise.
For the total package, what you get for the Xbox, it's still a better deal. But it's not, the PlayStation isn't nearly as expensive as I was expecting.
Did that make it a better console, though? Because you didn't think it'd be as expensive?
No. That's a difficult one. They're both, the specs aren't as far out as it looks on paper. It is. And the Xbox is obviously going to run smoother because of it. But they're not that far out that it's going to look out of place. You're not going to see the difference when you play the two different machines.
I guess so.
So a lot of it's down to, like, I guess what games you are in, if you're a fanboy of whatever console.
Well, that's true, obviously. See, I've got a problem with the PS5, which people go say, oh, Xbox fanboy, yeah. I'm gonna tell you my problem with it. I'm going to tell you it with facts. Now, the fact is, the PS5 and Xbox One both retail in the UK when it comes out about £450. Yeah, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of quality street, especially seeing at the moment because of COVID. People haven't got as much money as they would normally have had lying around. People have been waiting for the PS5 and Xbox Series X to come out and knowing it was coming, they'd be saving for it. Problem is that now because of COVID, people haven't got that sort of money laying around now. But the Xbox All Access plan, where as of Tuesday in the United Kingdom, and I think across in America as well, do the same thing. If you go to GameStop in America and Game or Smiths in the UK, you can get it on a payment plan, which also includes the Game Pass, Ultimate, and your Gold for the subscription for 2 years.
And EA Play.
And what's that?
EA Play.
EA Play is included in that as well. So you get Battlefront, all those sorts of games as well. And of course, Jedi Fallen Order, which we are big fans of course, Alex. And there's a lot of good games on the Game Pass, as we've explored before. And when you start weighing it up, it's about £25, about $30, that works out as a month. That is ridiculous. Ridiculously good value. Because it's easier to find an extra £25 a month than right now trying to find £450.
Yeah.
PlayStation were asked, are you going to do the same thing? They said, it's not financially viable for us to do that. And I'm like, if in pure financial terms, Microsoft has won. This round, at least. PlayStation have got some amazing first-party games, which are going to be exclusive. I get that. But if you can't afford the console, what's the point?
And that is the perfect point, really, when you put it into perspective.
I mean, I'm fully aware and Chris will argue in front of me, because Chris can make any argument against me because he likes to win arguments. I'm not saying that the PS5 isn't going to be worth getting. It may be a great console and it will have some amazing games. But right now, £450 of spare money, I ain't got. I'm pretty sure you haven't got, Alex. That's just a shake of the head from Alex. But if you would ask me, if I was to ask you, could you find £25 a month for it, for an Xbox? You probably I could probably find that.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't considering getting the consoles till next year. But that's what I did with the Xbox One. But with the Game Pass...
You can.
Yeah, with the Pass, I might as well... I'm going to try and get one when they first come into pre-order, which probably won't work, but...
Well, you can go into the store, you can do it online. You can do it in-store online. So it's advice to all you listeners out there as well. Get on there for an Xbox this coming Tuesday.
That's what I'm going to try, from 8 a.m.
Absolutely worth a try. If absolutely, give it a go, because PlayStation 5 is already sold out.
Yeah, it's sold out within 10 minutes. And that's another, like, bastard of a thing they did. Because they said that you were going to have time, you were going to be warned when it was coming. But basically what happened was, they had the showcase, and then it went out the second the showcase was finished. And in less than 10 minutes, everywhere in the world, it's sold out.
Yeah, so it's overpriced, as in you can't afford it, and you can't get hold of one anyway. So, yeah, you can't get one. I don't want one either, so...
You know what the part that does me in the most?
More than
the price and more than the exclusives on one side and better value on the other side.
What's that?
It's the fact you go into comment sections and there's grown-ass adults fucking having a pansy in an argument with each other how one's better than the other and the other is shit.
They haven't even played them yet because there's been no EGX, because there's been no E3, because there's been no Gamescom in Germany, no one's got hands-on with it.
Exactly, and it's just a console. You get the one you want, you get both if you want them both.
Mm.
And you just enjoy your purchase because you bought them because you wanted them.
Exactly.
You waste your time in the comments having a bitch at someone else because you think your console's better.
Mm. I mean, me and Chris, we hope they're going to get both the S and the X.
All right.
S for the living room, X for the bedroom, for the games room. So I can actually do a comparison of the two consoles at some point. So hopefully
that'll be interesting, because Kerry is looking at getting my sister.
Yes,
is looking to get the S herself.
Mm.
She's considering it anyway, because on the monthly plan and it being half the price of big console, she has considered it.
And that's the other thing, when you compare the two digital consoles, the Xbox Series S and the PS5 digital, it's £100 difference.
But there is a bit of a downgrade on the S, to be fair.
There is a bit of a downgrade on it, but it's still... But when you consider that the price is much less, if you're prepared to pay a bit less for it, then that's fine, sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's £109 less.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
It is in this current climate, definitely.
Absolutely. Right. Are you looking more news to me, buddy? Because I've got a little bit of news.
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Today, recording date, which is Thursday, the 16th. 17th of September. The Nintendo 3DS has stopped being supported.
After
9.5 years.
That's honestly one of the best consoles ever.
Mm. So because it's not being supported, that means that the Nintendo DS original is still the best-selling Nintendo handheld.
It always will be. It was a revolutionary console for its time.
It's not a console I've ever played. I never had a 3DS.
And that does surprise me, actually.
I had an original DS. I had it when I was recovering from surgery. But when we actually moved in to the new flat, which I'm in right now, Chris actually found his old 3DS. So he'd been playing Mario Kart. Not Mario Kart, but he'd been playing a Mario game on the 3DS in bed every night. So it's been quite, you know, and he's been very happy playing it. We've obviously got a Switch each, and we've both got our laptops, we've got our Xboxes, he's got his PS4 as well, but he's still like playing his 3DS.
That is the thing.
It's a great console.
There's something about old consoles. Old handhelds. Everything is just...
Everyone loved a bit of retro gaming.
It's like when we were at EGX. When they had, like, there was a section in the right-hand corner where it was older games. Not the one with all the Xboxes and the PlayStations, but...
The retro zone.
From, like, the 80s and onwards.
We played Pong.
Yeah, there was two Pong games, and no one was around them, and you can't understand why.
No, and we enjoyed playing it, of course. We even played on the old Mega Drive thing. We played a bit of an old Sonic. That was from 8 years before you were born, that was, Alex. Just to make you feel young. But you know, Pong was around when our parents were young. So think of it that way, Alex. When we were there, we had the first game ever made, which is Pong, and in the corner on the other side there was Cyberpunk 2077, which is out, of course, this year still, and that's going to be
supposedly, hopefully.
Yep, that's I haven't heard about anything about any more delays, so that's good. That'll brighten up our Christmas.
Hopefully, because not only. It's coming out in the same month Valhalla is, so it will be a bit of an expensive month.
And Valhalla is confirmed launch title for Xbox One and for PS5. I'm so used to saying those consoles, I'm so sorry.
It's mad to say that the Xbox One and the PS4 is the old generation now.
They will be. They will be in two months' time, yes.
Yeah, 2 months' time, they're not going to be the current generation.
They could be last gen, which is going to be weird to say. But it's okay. Nintendo 3DS, enjoy your retirement, but you're still bringing joy to millions of people across the world. Right, Alex, I think it's time we found out what made us cry.
Okay, so before we continue, I will give a shout out to... the one that it feels a bit cheating to say it made you cry, because obviously it brought tears of joy to you afterwards, and that is The Walking Dead final season when Clementine dies, supposedly. Because I was devastated when that happened.
That's a good one. I've got an honorable mention as well before we start as well, which Chris actually reminded me about today, actually. So thank you, Christopher. Mate, reminded me, you cried when you played WWE 2K20 for the first time. I'm like, yes, I did.
I can't explain this one.
That game was terrible. It was unbelievable terrible. It was that bad, it made me cry. But in any case, that's not made my list, because although it was a bad game, it didn't stir emotions. But I have got three games which do stir emotions. So, Alex, go first, buddy.
Okay, well, this is an obvious one, but in Life is Strange, you're given two decisions.
Yes.
Sacrifice everyone for your friend, or sacrifice your friend for the benefit of everyone else, who shouldn't die.
We've started as we mean to go on. This is where... exactly where I'm starting as well, Alex, so we can talk about this together.
Well, we, as you said, we were bound to have the same at some point.
I think we may have just more than one, but yeah, this one really was emotional.
Not so much the ending where you sacrifice the town, but more the ending where you have to sacrifice Chloe is the one that did me in.
When you first sat and played that, how long did... I mean, we've said it before on this show. I sat there and I must be at least 5 minutes and I was just waiting, trying to decide, because it gives you the options like right in front of your face, like in the little shimmy feel like it does. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, it's going to choose for me in a minute, and it doesn't. It makes you make that decision.
And that is honestly one of the toughest decisions in gaming.
because you know that you've now got that decision is on is something that you have decided to do. The game has done it randomly for you. You've made that decision.
Yeah, you've caused the ending.
Yeah.
And you either lose your best friend or you selfishly let your best friend live and everyone else pays for it.
As Alex quite so eloquently puts it, bay over bay.
Bay over bay.
It's,
unfortunately, it's... Graham, Nathan, was he Nathan? Nathan Prescott.
Prescott, yes.
Even though he was a really good character, they all have to die.
Really well written character. Mr. Jefferson.
I never expected that.
Such a creepy episode. And it was,
when he came onto the screen, I was like, what? No!
Yeah, the one person you didn't expect it to be, your whole time you thought was Prescott. So that broke your heart, and
I didn't actually put it on him, because he seemed far too unstable to be that intelligent.
But you also didn't think it was going to be, Jefferson either. So in episode 4, they broke your heart, and then in episode 5, they ripped your heart out.
Yep. And then stamped on it a little bit when it came to season 2, when you come along a destroyed town.
If you've actually chosen that option. I didn't in the canonical one, which is on the save file I had. Right, so. Alrighty. Okay, that one's hit us in the feels. So because we both had the same one on that one, Alex, what's your second one?
So, did you finish Kingdom Hearts 3?
I have not yet, but go ahead. I do not mind spoilers.
Are you sure? Because it's pretty big spoilers.
I do not mind spoilers, dude.
You've never really actually played the other games, though, have you?
No, but it's so okay. It's okay.
This is all going to go over your head. Because it's more of a happy cry, because okay. I did cry.
That's fine.
I cried tears of joy when this happened.
Happy tears are good.
And I'm sure many other Kingdom Hearts players did.
Probably.
But at one point, near the ending, you're fighting a group of the bad guys, and then two characters basically return from the dead, them being Roxas and Shion.
Mm-hmm.
And how they died is a bit of a gut punch in the earlier games.
Right.
And to see a return through the confusing world of Kingdom Hearts brought tears to my eyes and, like, just joy.
It's confusing, all right, that's for certain.
Oh, it's... When we got to... When I finished Kingdom Hearts 3, I was more confused than when I started. But many other people, I'm sure, were exactly the same when they saw the scene that I'm on about.
But sometimes a beautiful ending can be perfectly worth a good cry.
Though that game was a mess and far too easy, it was the perfect ending for the series.
Now, it's a game which I need to finish at some point. I did enjoy what I played. So I will endeavour to get to play more at some point. Right, my second choice is a game I know you haven't played. It's Gears of War 3.
No, I haven't played it, but I'm fine with spoilers.
During the first, just during the main series of the games, you playing as Marcus Fenix and his partner, Dom. And the whole way through the first two games, you're battling the Locust Horde, and you are trying to find Dom's wife, Maria, who was kidnapped by the Locust. And it turns out, when they actually find her in the second game, she's nothing now but a dried out husk, and she's had everything drained out of her, all of her life force, and she's not in a good way. She is not in a good way at all. And then it's Dom has to actually kill her himself put out of their misery. And then Gear the Wolf 3 comes round. And he's gone broken by the start of the third game. He, a far cry from the man we first met. Definitely. Eventually, the team gets trapped at a petrol station. Gas station, America. Between the Lambent and the Locust forces, which is two different variations of the aliens. Basically a civil war going on with the humans in the middle. And it's a matter of time before they're wiped out. To which Dom takes drastic action. And he jumps into a lorry, speeds away from the gas station, turns it around, and screams for the team to get clear. And he drives straight at the gas station. The thing which I remember most about this is the look of panic in Marcus Fenix's eyes, the character you mainly play as, as he realizes what Dom's doing, and he screams, "Dom!" And then, as it's happening, there's an instrumental of the song Mad World playing in the background. You know that song, Alex, don't you?
Yeah.
So whenever I hear Mad World now, I just think, Dom, no! It's... Because obviously when you're playing co-op, because you can play the campaign co-op with someone else, player one would play as Marcus, player two plays as Dom Santiago. And after he's died, of course, player two plays as a different character. It's tough. It's rough as well. He won't accept the death unless he tries to go into the fire to try and pull him out. But and the fact is, that's not even at the end of the game.
It's just too late at that point.
It's not even the end of the game. It's like halfway through the third game. Someone you've been with for three games. And you feel like you know that team, and they get ripped apart like that. It's a game series that my nephew Ben absolutely adores, and he will never get over. He actually cried when Dom died, and he doesn't cry.
I've been told I don't cry either, but there is just certain games that do break me like that.
It's a game which definitely breaks you. So if you get a chance to actually watch it, in fact, I might even show it to you later on, Alex, to watch. The scene itself, it's perfectly scored and it's perfectly done. Yeah, that made me feel quite sad thinking about that one. Right, Alex. I've got a feeling I know what your third one is.
Yeah, if you do, you know me well. And my final one, which is probably very obvious if you know me.
Can I?
It's guess? Lee's death.
Huh?
You didn't hear that.
Lee's death.
Was that your guess?
That was my guess, yeah. I should now, as if to be a dick. Lee! Alex's face is screwed up a little bit, yeah.
Lee Everett's death from the first Walking Dead game. If you don't cry every time you see that, you're not worthy.
You're broken inside.
I don't think I've ever played that scene without crying. The whole episode, because you know what's coming, and even though you've seen it multiple times, or however many times you play it, it does it to you every single time.
You're invested in the storyline, you're invested in the characters, because you've gone through all of those characters for so long.
He goes from just a scumbag criminal to the father figure of Clementine.
To being a hero.
And to see him knowing he's going to die, but putting that aside because he's got other things to do. It's just, it sets out how well he's developed over such a short period of time, because the game is only 3 months long in time span.
Exactly. And then when you get through to Thieves 4, as Alec mentioned, there's references to Lee throughout the other series, but in Series 4, when she has her flashback in her dream to Series 1, she has a few of them in Series 4. She has one in the van, in the RV, and she has one in the train, and I'm like, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it now. You realize how far she's come. And
one in the RV broke me, because he's like, I'm never going to leave you. And then we go back to reality.
It's devastating. It really, really is.
But could you imagine how different the series would be if Lee never died?
I think if Lee hadn't died, I don't think that Kenny would have reacted the way he did at the end of season 2.
No, and you wouldn't get the Clementine that we got in the end. No. I don't think either.
No, Lee's passing was what made Clementine into the soldier, the leader, and the woman that she is at the end of at the end of season 4. And coincidentally, is what makes AJ one of the best characters development-wise, because you actually develop him as a, right, and controlling him, you actually develop him in series four. Sorry,
I do love what season 4 did with everyone, having them, every single character within reason, develop around the decisions you made, and they weren't just killed off for story purpose at some point.
Yeah. It was really well done, and I'm really glad that obviously Skybound came in and saved the series, so he actually got the end of the series.
Losing that would have just been devastating.
And of course, we did a full review of the final episode, obviously, of Benjamin Banks, way back nearly 2 years ago now.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I can, actually. We must get him back on at some point and talk about the new consoles at some point. Definitely. Right, is there any other honorable mentions, Alex? I'm thinking, like, there's obviously, I've never played Final Fantasy VII, but I know, obviously, Aeris' death upset a lot of people, obviously. Mass Effect 3, obviously, if you don't do certain things, you lose half your crew.
Morden's death in Mass Effect 3 was quite sad. Shepard's death in Mass Effect 3 was bullshit.
Right.
What else do we have?
Well,
Cortana's death, Halo 4. Supposed death.
Metal Gear Solid 4. There is the where you think Solid Snake's going to kill himself, but then he doesn't right at the end. And another Metal Gear Solid 5, I mentioned it before, where you have to, ironically, there's a virus going around on your home base, and you have to go to a medical platform and you have to euthanize your own soldiers to stop the virus spreading. And
Halo Reach in there.
Halo Reach?
You haven't played it yet, that game is going to break you when we play it.
If I could finish my point about Metal Gear quickly. As you kill each one, it says staff member has died. Every time you take someone's life because of that, the computer tells you a staff member has died. As if to ram it home one more time, that you are the one that killed a staff member. I'm like, cheers, computer.
Thank you for backing me up.
it does a really, really good job of hitting you where it hurts. And that's good. Because the video game is a nowadays, it's a storytelling experience. And the story that's got good investment is great. It's not a video game, but I remember the first time a player character I played in D&D died. I don't think I cried, but I was very upset about it for certain.
Hmm.
He was a tiefling warlock. Died by a giant spider.
Oh, lovely. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. So I was a bit upset about that, but, you know, came back for eat. The rest of the party went to the afterlife and brought you back, so it wasn't too bad.
And if Reed actually dies in episode 2, as we've all discussed.
Not gonna happen.
We'll see.
But in any case, it can be upsetting playing some games sometimes. And of course, we haven't even talked about The Last of Us, because obviously I've never played it. But I do know it's a very emotional scene to that.
I've seen all of the first game, which, to be honest, I tried to play, but the story is fantastic. The game and the controls, that's a whole different load of bullshit, to be honest, but the story makes up for it. And I've heard very, very mixed reviews about the second game.
Well, at some point, maybe I'll give it a go, seeing as how other half probably get a PS5 at some point.
I'm going to get a PS5 at some point. Probably the digital one, because it's £100 less and I'm only going to ever use it for exclusives.
Yeah. Right, Alex, what have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing this week? I've been playing Re-Reckoning. I have been playing a little bit of Skyrim, actually.
Alex, the problem with Kingdom of Amalur when it first came out was because people played Skyrim instead of that game.
Yes, it came out with Skyrim.
Okay, so first impressions?
It's really good. I like that even though it's a remake, the graphics haven't really gone up. Because I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought it was going to be, because obviously this is the first time I've ever played this game. I thought the graphics were going to be up, like, as I normally do with a remake.
Mm.
But it's not really. And I think I prefer that, to be honest.
Fair enough. There is a part of Kingdom of Amalur, because at one point, I'm going to mention this as a channel we both love very much, Outside Extra. But they were celebrating, I think, 750,000 subscribers, which is amazing. Well,
they deserve it.
Yes, of course. But to celebrate it, they let Ellen play a live stream of Kingdom of Amalur, the original version, the 360 version, and she played it, and unfortunately a bit of dialogue got stuck on screen, so the chat was going mental for it, obviously, and so was the Andy and Luke, and basically people were saying it's time for work, boys. They weren't saying it in the dark, it was just the subtitle was stuck on the whole time. So people were just saying it the whole time, and it's now entered outside Xbox lore. To the extent of they now have a t-shirt out you can buy from their store saying it's time for work, boys.
Is that the skeleton t-shirt?
No.
Alright, I was going to say, I bought a skeleton t-shirt the other day, which I'm still waiting for.
That new one is part of their PAX thing.
I'm looking forward to it, because that's a really cool t-shirt.
To be fair, they do make very cool t-shirts, to be fair. We've both got a dog one, for example.
And I have a 60 skeletons one, which I was very happy about.
You do have indeed. You playing anything else, buddy?
Let's think. I've played a tiny bit of Forza Motorsport 7, because there's nothing more I like than beating my previous lap times.
You are competitive, that's a certain.
Mm-hmm. And I've been playing D&D, of course.
Obviously. Absolutely fantastic. Obviously. Fantastic to play D&D. Seeing as how he was so not sure about it at first, and now he's addicted to it. So, it's all good.
I D&D is honestly one of my favorite things to play. There's something about pen and paper tabletop game, which is just fantastic, and it's all done by the dice. There's That's why I like it, because there's no guarantee you're ever going to do well.
Yeah, it's it's the thing. We started playing D&D just as a thing to do during lockdown, and it's expanded to a thing where it's one of the most popular things on the network now.
Expanded to basically a weekly series with multiple campaigns.
Indeed, and the best
you
the
never
best.
Would have expected.
It keeps it certainly, and no disrespect intended here, I certainly didn't think you'd be DMing. I certainly didn't think you'd be doing as good a job of it.
I was honestly shitting myself when I first jumped onto it.
Well, you did very well, and you've really evolved into a good player and a great DM. You really have, dude. I'm not just saying that. What have I been playing? Animal Crossing, dipping in and out for turnips. What else have I been playing? Tetris 99. I've been back on to play some more Phoenix Wright, the Crypto Trilogy on there as well. Xbox-wise, I have been playing a game called Moving Out. It's a good little fun game. It's on the Game Pass.
Oh, that's out now, is it?
It's on the Game Pass.
Oh, shit, I've missed that. Okay, we need to play that.
It's on the Game Pass. We might do a little review next time. What else have I been playing? F1 2020, because it is the best F1 game ever made. I have pre-ordered FIFA 21. I think I already mentioned that. It's even got a free... Fair enough. I'll review it, not you. It gets a free upgrade to the next console, which is good, to be fair. You ain't got to pay for it twice. And what else have I been playing? Anything else of note? Yes, Night Call, which is on the Game Pass as well. It's a good little indie game where you are a cab driver trying to solve a murder. It's brilliant. Give it a go, Alex, at some point. It's a brilliant little game.
Yeah, we'll do.
Recommend it quite highly. And obviously been playing D&D, obviously. And editing like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've been editing my level up episode, which I don't know when that will go out. Maybe after next week or the week after, I'm not too sure.
Indeed. Interesting thing, by the way, guys, is that Alex is editing this episode you're listening to right now. So he's going to do a good job of it, no doubt, indeed.
We'll see.
No doubt about it. That's pretty much it for this week's episode, though. Nice little one for you.
And, of course, thank you to Triumph Chairs. They make fantastic chairs. And if you want one of their chairs, use code GAMEJUNKIES, all caps, at the checkout for a 10% discount.
Absolutely. Please do so. It is definitely worth your time. They're amazing chairs. Tell them that Matt and Alex sent you. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Chris is here next weekend, of course. Make sure you get listen to his show. And also, don't forget to listen to Dungeon Junkies tomorrow. It's going to be Chad's leveling up, and also the first part of his... the first part of episode 2 of his campaign. So listen out for that. And also, on behalf of myself and Alex, hope you have a good wedding, Chad. We see you soon, buddy. And I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex, and we're out of here.
Boom.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.